During that raid on Osama bin Laden's compound in north of Islamabad in Pakistan, they seized 10 hard drives, 5 computers, and more than 100 storage devices. And American intelligence analysts are now digging through those files to see what they can learn about al-Qaeda's organization and their plans. Joining us now is Scott Shane, national security reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And Scott, there's a lot of material they have to get through and that they have to translate from Arabic into English. What have we learned so far?
Well, we only have the sort of first glimpse of some of this material, but we do know that intelligence officials are very excited about it because it seems to be, you know, quite an archive of al-Qaeda. Some of it's obviously going to be dated, but some of the material is recent enough to have relevance to, you know, threats that the United States might face today. And the one piece of information that came out yesterday was that as recently as February 2010, in a notebook that they picked up, there was discussion of attacking rail lines in the United States, just musing about it, really, it sounds like, talking about tampering with tracks to make trains fall off bridges. But it was significant enough that the Department of Homeland Security did send out warnings to law enforcement, and TSA, Transportation Security Administration, sent out a bulletin to rail companies warning them about this. And, you know, we have the impression that this may be only the first of a series of such warnings coming out of this cache.
We're speaking with Scott Shane, national security reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Although you quote somebody from Homeland Security saying that these plans looked aspirational rather than anything else, and that, in fact, there was a whole range of different dates included there, not just the 10th anniversary of September 11th.
No, apparently they talked about New Year's, Christmas, even the State of the Union speech. So it seemed like this was maybe thinking aloud or a brainstorming session or something that was recorded here. And it is, you know, and officials hastened to say they knew of no specific threat, no imminent, you know, plot going on. But they, you know, this was more of a sort of a heads up to law enforcement and to the train folks who run the trains, you know, just sort of keep an eye out.
And, of course, this is early going in taking a look at this archive, but I'm wondering if there's any sense that the financing of al-Qaeda was being directed from these computers or this archive in some way, or looking for some kind of, in the event of my death, file, which might indicate some big action that might be looming.
Well, I'm sure that's exactly what they're looking for now. They're also looking, of course, for any leads on the whereabouts of Ayman al-Zawahiri, the Egyptian guy who's the number two in al-Qaeda, and others, to see if they can't keep this going in terms of rolling up more of the terrorist network. But I think what may emerge from this is a new portrait of bin Laden in his last years, because he's generally been thought of as, he's been putting out a handful of audio messages each year to the world, and they go up on the web or on Al Jazeera. But he's generally been thought of as sort of a symbolic figure who wasn't running operations. And what they have seen so far suggests that he may have been more hands-on than people suspected, certainly not running things in a day-to-day fashion, but perhaps sending out through couriers instructions to al-Qaeda operatives to try, here's something to think about.
Scott Shane, we also got just a glimpse of the surveillance operation that the CIA had moved forward with in the months before this mission to either apprehend or kill Osama bin Laden. Did they give you any hint as to why they moved, when they moved?
No, but it was fascinating to realize that they had not only managed to keep the final operation against bin Laden secret from the Pakistanis, but they'd had this this lookout, this house they had rented with a line of sight to bin Laden's compound that they'd apparently been in for months, photographing, looking with, you know, telescopes and studying the compound, trying to figure out who was there. And we were even told that there was a man who would come out and pace for 20 minutes at a time in the compound. They couldn't get a good look at him. They didn't know who he was, but they called him the pacer. And now they're quite convinced that that was bin Laden.
Well, clearly, this is time sensitive. One of the things that we're told that they are looking for is the names and possible locations of other members of Al-Qaeda that they've been searching for. Is there any idea right now that we have found locations, not just of Zawahiri, but other members of Al-Qaeda who have been dispersed around the world?
There's nothing that American officials are talking about publicly. Obviously, the last thing they want to do is tip off one of these guys that they're about to, a team of SEALs is about to show up on their doorstep. So we haven't gotten wind of anything like that yet, and we may only learn it when such an operation actually occurs.
You know, Scott, it seems like the audio messages without the video are a sign that he'd left the mountains, in retrospect, easy in hindsight, but he'd left the mountains. So the fact that all the recent messages were audio is an indication he didn't want to give away this compound.
That's right, and that may have something to do with the fact that the drone strikes started up about the time he moved, and he may have thought it was a very bad idea to be out there in the open.
Interesting.
Scott Shane is the national security reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you.